Please remain standing as you greet Jesus in the reading of Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 49. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the beginning of Luke's gospel, in the first chapter, in the 79th verse, Jesus proclaims that he will guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, near the end of Luke's gospel, the resurrected Jesus appears among his followers, and he gives a benediction of peace. In this scripture passage today, we hear Jesus say that he brings fire to earth. Fire. He says that he brings division and not peace. There have been times in all of our lives when we have had to personally wrestle with God. We've had to wrestle with God. And we notice that there is a substance of power to be reckoned with as we wrestle with the Lord. We're not the only ones who have wrestled with God. Jacob wrestled with God. Mary wrestled with God. Abraham and Sarah wrestled with God. But you know what? There is a decisive moment in our lives when we know, just like in this passage today, that it is a descriptive moment and it is not a prescriptive moment. What does that mean? It means that we can describe the things that are going on, but it is not the way that we are going to continue to live. When Jesus claims to bring peace, and then we read today that there is division, we have to stop and ask ourselves, what in the world? I have to admit, I wrestled with this scripture passage for quite some time. I don't like division. I have always been taught that united we stand and divided we fall. But when we look up the Greek word for fire, we see that it is closely related to baptism, a claim on us that we are God's and God belongs to us in our very lives. So what does all that mean? When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, heaven opened up and God spoke. He said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. As you and I remember our baptism, God was there saying those same words to you and me. This is my son. This is my daughter with whom I am well pleased. Jesus' ministry began with the knowledge that Jesus was truly the Son of God. When we think about Jesus' life and the examples that he gave us, the way that Jesus ministered to others, we can see that the social status, the haves and the have-nots, were turned completely upside down. The last became first, and the first became last. We can see that there was division, but God didn't let that stop him. To those of us who gather for worship today, we carry with us a lifetime of personal experiences, psychologically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I was not here when the 1974 tornado arrived here at this very church, but I have seen the pictures, I've heard the stories, and I've seen God turn ashes into beauty. When in your life has there been division and strife? And are you ready to see God bring ashes into beauty? Jesus' empathetic words on division need to be understood in relationship to our social realities. Where the household was and still is our fundamental block, building block for society. What we need to be aware of is that Jesus is pointing us in a direction where generational division will no longer be associated with you or with me. Our vocations won't be the deciding factors in who we are. Our allegiance or non-allegiance to family ties or our status among our peers will not be the way that we are measured. Those things that identify us socially, like divorce, abuse, inheritance, status with family, our grades, what kind of shoes we wear, it's all those things. You see, instead, these things that society worries about, it's not going to matter. What matters is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, are we seeking Jesus? And how are we interpreting the situations, the present situations in our lives, against what Jesus has taught us? What ties believers together is not a covenant of lineage, it's a covenant of blood poured out for you and for me, for those who find fellowship in the family of God. The divine peace that Jesus brings about involves an establishment of proper relationship, which includes mercy and compassion and justice between God and humanity. Not everyone welcomes or wants God's divine plan of peace. Therefore, the initiation of Jesus' peace plan also contributes to disunity and fractures among us, not only in society, but in our families, and yes, sometimes in our church. So how is it that we interpret the present? We come to understand that Jesus has not come to validate social realities or stigmas. Our social realities and values have a propensity to seek a harmony that favors those who hold positions of power at the expense of those who are powerless and expendable. It's kind of sad to think that way. Jesus' missional agenda of compassion, mercy, and justice shatters the status quo. I love that. Jesus didn't come here to say you're better than someone else. Jesus came to say you are loved and accepted. The missional agenda compels Jesus towards his divine destiny, and it's accomplished through Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Today we'll hear from our youth how Jesus' mission of compassion, mercy, and justice showed them how God showed up while they were on a mission trip and from there into their personal lives. God lives and moves within each one of us. And let's listen now as our youth express the love of God.
It was the summer of 2002. Rich and I were getting ready to head to a weekend concert in Columbus. Alexandra was heading to a friend's. She was just 1.5 years old. A knock came on the door. Do I answer it? We were in a hurry to get to the concert. B.B. King and Kenny Wayne Shepherd. We were ready to go. I did answer it. It was Pastor Rex Robinson. I invited him in, and that conversation has changed our lives. He was wondering if Rich and I would be interested in working with the youth group at Faith. Us? Are we qualified? What do we know about teenagers? Our child is only 1.5. Those are just some of the questions Rich and I struggled with and asked each other as we drove to Columbus. Not only were we qualified, I truly believe we were called. The following summer, I traveled with Pastor Rex and the youth group to New Orleans on my first mission trip. Sarah Putman and Liam Gamble were two of the students on that trip. We celebrated Sarah's birthday while we were there. Allie was not quite old enough to go. It was a life-changing experience for me. Even though it was tough leaving my 2-year-old and husband for a week, to see the looks in the children's eyes at the worksite as we played jacks and I pushed them on the swing, as I was hugged by the young ladies from our youth group when I found out that Alexandra was heading out the door in Xenia with her Dora backpack on to find me, when I looked at the cases of donated food we sorted at the food bank that would be eaten by the people in need in the community. The summer of 2004, Rich and I led a trip to the Smoky Mountains. We were pregnant with Nate. Alexander was home being cared for by Grandma. That summer, Rich realized his calling to serve not just in Xenia, but around our country and our world. He's been on mission trips every summer since 2004, and he's found a passion for serving that is an example to many. Since 2003, I've not missed a summer mission trip. Since 2008, I've been planning them and sending other leaders out in the same way Rex sent me out. What a wonderful experience to gift that gift to another adult. Also, to have the youth of our community who serve locally already go out and see other areas of our country and areas of need in different parts of not just our country, but our world. This opportunity may be life-changing, not just for those sent out, but for those who they encounter. Youth today, more than ever, need to have the opportunity to look away from their own needs and realize the needs of others. It is our job as parents and mentors to our youth to show them how to serve others. Yesterday, in our final Splash Summer Youth series, which was talking about water and stories of the Bible, we finished by talking about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. The humility being shown in that moment would have been so powerful to experience. Little did the group know I would wash their feet. To show that we are equals and need to serve and care for each other is a powerful lesson. None of our needs are any less important than the next. Let's make sure we keep that in mind when we interact with others. At this time, I invite those who went on a 2016 mission trip to Raleigh, Cincinnati, or Guatemala to stand. And that's both the youth and the leaders. So you can look around you and see who attended a mission trip this summer. And if you've ever gone on a faith community-sponsored mission trip, go ahead and stand also. Young people, not so young people, leaders, members of our congregation. So let's go ahead and give these folks some recognition. You may be seated. We are all asked to give our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness when we join the United Methodist Church. Not everyone is called to serve outside our community, outside the community we live in, but many are. I would like to thank those of you who have made these trips possible for our youth group. We can't do it without you. You support us through your prayers and your gifts. You also support us through your presence as you hear our stories and through your witness when you remind us that God is with us as we go. Thank you for doing your part in our mission. This summer, we had youth go to Raleigh. There were 10 of us on the Raleigh trip, and you'll hear more from Jonathan about our Raleigh adventures. We also had youth go to Cincinnati. There were 5 on the Cincinnati trip. Lauren shared earlier this morning, and Chris will be sharing in just a few minutes. And there were 12 folks from our area who traveled to Guatemala. They met up with our friend Chicky when they got to Guatemala, and you'll hear about that trip from Alexandra. This year, there were 6 youth from Xenia who were able to travel to Guatemala, and that is just a wonderful opportunity for them to have been able to do that. At this time, I invite Jonathan Patterson to come forward to speak to you about how he saw God while he was serving in Raleigh.
Warren. God can be anywhere. I have seen him many times through my two mission trips to Chattanooga and Raleigh. I saw him in three different places in Raleigh. One place was a food shuttle where we organized canned foods for a food bank to give out to fill in backpacks to give to kids. And it was really good to see them because they have no air conditioning in there, so all to keep them cool, they have a cooler full of ice and water, and that's all they have. And it was good because they were really happy to see us because with more people, it was able to lighten the load on them because they work, you know, probably Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's probably their normal schedule. So that lights the load on them. So when they go home to their families, they don't go right to bed. They can, you know, have some family time like all of us can. I also saw God through the rehab folks at the Raleigh Rehab Center, because most of the people there have never gone to the outside world. They've been cooped up in that rehab center for months or maybe even years. All they've been moving is moving from their room to the little rehab room and to the arts and crafts room, and then their entertainment room where they play games, watch TV. On Sunday mornings they have service like we are today. And the last place I saw God was on the smiles on the little kids' faces from Helping Hands. It was a day camp where kids can go learn about God and have fun at a day camp. It was really good for them because the leaders there are keeping them off the streets and away from the bad things that they could possibly see in the world. We had a community cookout on Thursday before we left, and we invited many, many people. And Helping Hands was probably one of the only groups that came. And it was really cool because they brought a drum line and they put on a big show for us. The little kids got involved. Everybody was involved from there. It was good to see their smiling faces. And I could see God speaking to me. I could just see him. Now I invite Chris to talk about Cincinnati.
Good morning. I went on a mission trip to both Raleigh and Cincinnati. While I was in Cincinnati, I struggled on that mission trip a lot because I'm definitely not a relational person, more so a physical person when it comes to mission work. And Cincinnati was very relational. We went to a place called Wesley Chapel. And it's where kids from over the Rhine go during the day while their parents work. And they it's basically an all-day daycare. And the kids there were just so interesting because, you know, they never see anything outside of over the Rhine. That's where they live. That's where they go to school. That's where they go to church. Most of those kids won't leave that place until they go to college, if they're that lucky. But it surprised me how even going there every day, whether it be after school in the school year or in the mornings and the afternoons in the summer, they were still so happy just to go and to be with their friends every day of the week and, you know, see God and worship God and take care of their little gardens and all that stuff. And, you know, those kids were... they were a handful, that's for sure, but they were a good group. Another day, we went to a place called Jubilee Project, where they rehab homes and sell them back to people for low costs. And for those of you who know me, I am accident prone. And that day, I did end up at the hospital getting stitches. And that day, I saw God at the hospital. The doctor that we had... you know, we talked about our favorite Bible verses, and we prayed with her, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful lady of God, and I was really thankful that that day went like that. And then the next day, we went back to Wesley Chapel, and that was the place I was struggling most until the very last day of our mission trip. I met a kid And he touched my heart that day. At the very end, he asked me if I would be there on that Saturday to go on their field trip with them. And I said, no, I can't go. I got to go home. And he asked why I had to go home. And I told him, I'm here for a mission trip. You know, I'm trying to do a mission. He was like, well, what's your mission? And I said, I'm here to help you guys. Did I complete my mission? And he just looked up at me and he said, yeah. Yeah, you did. And that just touched my heart, and I feel like that'll stay with me for hopefully the rest of my life. Now I invite Alexandra to talk about her mission in Guatemala.
Good morning. My name is Alexandra Felly, and this year I went on mission trips to both Raleigh and Guatemala. But today I will be talking about my experiences in Guatemala. This mission trip was my very first time out of the country, and even though I went with my dad and a whole bunch of friends, I was still extremely nervous. When we were on the plane going from the Atlanta airport to the Guatemala City airport, I was looking out the little tiny plane window at all the little islands we were flying over, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, am I really going to a new country? As I was thinking of every little thing that could go wrong, Shoulders by 14 and Country played on my phone, and that comforted me. The chorus is my favorite part of that song. It says, my help comes from you, you're right here, pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness, my brokenness, all on your shoulders. My help comes from you, you are my rest, my rescue. I don't have to see to believe that you're lifting me up on your shoulders. I thought that song played at the perfect time. Even though I was nervous on the plane, once we got to Guatemala City, through customs in the unair-conditioned airport full of too many people, and to the hotel where there was Wi-Fi so that I could talk to my mom, I was really excited to see what God had planned for my week there. Throughout the week, we stayed in Pana, which is where Mission Guatemala is based. When Mission Guatemala was founded, their goal was to open a simple clinic, almost like an urgent care, in the rural areas of Guatemala. While they only have one clinic open currently, in the 7 years they have been working on that clinic, they have opened a doctor's office, a pharmacy, a dentist's office, an ophthalmologist, and they have several computer and typing classes for the children, sewing classes for the moms, and carpentry classes for the patients, along with a preschool for the toddlers. Although we did get a tour of the clinic, we were not working there the whole week. We were working at a school in Godinez that needed more bathrooms. Saying that they needed new bathrooms was an understatement, considering they had over 220 students and 3 toilets. While we were there, we built the walls and started preparing the buildings to have the roof put on. We ended up adding to the existing bathroom, so in the end, there was 4 girls' stalls, 3 boys' stalls and a urinal, a teacher's stall, and a shower for the teachers. Not only did we build bathrooms for the children, but we also got to interact with them. Almost every day, we told a Bible story to the kids, alternating the different grades. Along with the story, the kids got to color, play a game, make a craft, and we had a mini picture day where we used a Polaroid camera to take individual pictures of the kids to give to them to keep. One of my favorite parts about working with the kids was testing how much Spanish I learned in Senora Cardenas' class. I decided that I didn't learn very much. Since we were only working Monday through Friday while we were in Guatemala, we did a lot of driving and touristing. We saw Chiqui's niece Aileen and her team, the National Guatemala Softball Team, play against Athletes in Action, their women's college team, which is based in Xenia. We also went zip lining in Pana. I think zip lining was probably my favorite tourist activity the whole time we were there. Partly because it was so pretty seeing Lake Atitlan and its surrounding volcanoes, and also because I conquered my fear of heights. The thing that struck me while I was down in Guatemala was how happy the people are. I constantly thought to myself, How can someone with so little find so much joy in their life? When we were downtown one night, we went to a shop and met an extremely nice family. They welcomed us with open arms. The parents were Tomasa and Julio, and they had two kids. They owned four storefronts to help support their family. When we were there, they gave us a discount just because we were missionaries serving their country. Tomasa told us about her life story and how her faith in God helped her to support her family. She said that on a good day, she would come home with about 10 quetzals, which is less than $1.50 in U.S. currency. One night, she prayed to God that he would give her a storefront to help pay for her family's expenses. And within a year, she had opened four storefronts, which I thought was amazing. I'm sure there are many other stories just like Tomasa and Julio's, whether they are a believer in Christ, just like the family we met, or a believer in the Mayan gods like their ancestors. I love the culture, the people, and the beauty of the country of Guatemala, and I'm definitely planning on going again next summer because I had an amazing experience serving the people of Guatemala.
There are many things these three trips have in common: youth, relationships being built, Jesus as the center, sharing our faith through servant evangelism, broadening our horizons, thinking outside the box, trying new things, and getting out of our comfort zones. I'm excited to hear the stories as these trips have occurred and our youth and adults have returned safely to Xenia. On our last night in Raleigh, after our foot washing ceremony, during our church group time, I was thankful when four of our eight youth said that that was the most impactful mission trip yet. I hope their future mission trips will leave them with that same feeling. We are always to be connecting our hearts to God, growing in God's word, and serving others. May we never stop connecting, growing, and serving in Jesus' name. Amen.
So are you feeling called? Is God on the move in your life? And are you missionally connected? I certainly hope so. And I hope that you will continue to support the youth here at the church and to be in mission wherever God has called you. Maybe it's at work, in your home, or even on the street corner. So may we all be people of mission. Let's turn to 560, I do believe it is.